Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In our Quran study session today, inshallah, I will discuss Amru bil Ma'ruf and Nahyu anil Munkar, which is typically rendered enjoining right and forbidding wrong in the English language. I will begin my talk with the bad and the ugly misconceptions about this Quranic injunction, and then I will share with you the good meaning of this injunction. So first, let's begin with the bad and the ugly. You see, even the utterance of this phrase, Amr bi Ma'ruf and Nahy anil Munkar, sends shivers down the spine of Iranians, Afghanis, Indonesians, Somalis, and many other people around the world, for good reasons. Because these folks have been subjected to cruelty, they have been robbed of their freedom to choose their lifestyle, all in the name of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahyu anil Munkar. Let me give you a few specific examples why most people around the world are so frightened by this phrase, Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy anil Munkar. Today, Wahhabi-inspired groups like ISIS, the Taliban, Al-Shabaab, they all commit atrocities, they terrorize nations and slaughter innocent people, and they claim they are just fulfilling their Islamic duty of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahyu anil Munkar. In Saudi Arabia, the Wahhabi government established an organization called the Committee for the Propagation of Virtue and the Prevention of Vice. Last time I checked, this committee employed an estimated 4,000 religious police. The job of the religious police in Saudi Arabia is to crack down on any behavior that they deem un-Islamic. Iran, under the religious dictatorship of Shiite mullahs, also has a similar organization. Those of you who were in Iran right after the 1979 revolution recall vividly that it was quite nasty back then. Morality police would invade private parties. They would arrest people if men and women were mixed in the parties, or if alcohol was served, or music was involved. Women in particular were terrorized by the morality police. They were routinely harassed for not covering their head properly, or wearing makeup or nail polish, or wearing colorful dress. They were all considered bad and wrong by the morality police. Morality police would take quote-unquote deviant young women to a place called Munkarat, or vices, to be educated on Islam. And you can only imagine what that education was all about. Repeat offenders would be punished severely. Morality police, frankly, has terrorized Iranians in the name of Nahyu anil Munkar, forbidding wrong. Now, this is not a new phenomenon. Don't assume that only in the modern times Muslims are suffering under the reign of morality police. In fact, morality policing has been a fixture in Islamic history. Vigilante groups, the self-appointed religious inspectors, would pry into the personal affairs of people. They would punish anyone who did not conform to Islamic norms. For these religious inspectors and their enablers in the clergy class, personal choice, personal space, or privacy has no place in Islam. That's why they dare to invade people's privacy in the name of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy anil Munkar. But you see, in modern times, in the modern world, privacy is considered a right. You and I have a right to privacy. But the ugly truth is that the so-called Islamic law or fiqh has never taken rights seriously, has never had an interest in rights or huquq. Islamic law, fiqh, has always centered on the notion of duty or taklif. The job of a Muslim jurist is to determine the religious duties of Muslims. Guess what? The modern world is all about individual rights and privacy. You can now appreciate why the conservative mullahs who dominate our seminaries have such a hard time reconciling Islam with the modern world. In my opinion, they will never be able to reconcile Islam with human rights, with pluralism, and personal freedom, because the notion of rights has no place in their system of thought. We should not be surprised by the prevalence of moral police in Muslim societies, because their so-called Islamic law, which has no interest in individual rights, interprets the Quranic injunction, Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy anil Munkar, in such a way that leaves no room for personal choice. With this critical background in mind, now let's see what the Quran actually teaches about Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy anil Munkar, enjoining right and forbidding wrong. First and foremost, Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy anil Munkar is a requirement of faith. Chapter 9, verse 71 essentially says that وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. The believing men and believing women are protectors of one another. They enjoin right and forbid wrong. So the verse is very clear. Men and women of faith enjoin right and forbid wrong. This edict is repeated many times over in the Holy Quran. Let's slice and dice this edict to find out the true meaning of this injunction, the philosophy of enjoining right and forbidding wrong. The phrase al-amru bil ma'ruf wa nahyu anil munkar has two distinct parts. Amru bil ma'ruf, enjoining right, and nahyu anil munkar, forbidding wrong. Let's treat them separately. Al-amru bil ma'ruf. The Arabic word for amr is often incorrectly translated as to command and to order. In fact, amr has made it to the Farsi language. In Farsi, amr precisely means to order or to command. Dastur dadan. So when a Muslim fanatic orders a woman in Iran or in Afghanistan, cover your head, remove your nail polish, remove your makeup, that is amr. It is an order, right? But is this what Amr means in the Quranic injunction. Does the Quran ask us to order people to follow our norms, even if it is against their will, even if it is against their conscience? Let me make a general point here, which is very crucial for the proper study of Islam. This point is absolutely crucial. You see, the Quran has a universe of ideas, a universe of concepts and teachings. These concepts and teachings are interrelated. They have organic relationships with each other. We should not view Quranic concepts and teachings in isolation. So, when we want to understand the true meaning of Al-Amru Bil-Ma'ruf and Nahyu Anil Munkar, we must place this injunction within the universe of other Quranic teachings and concept. Our understanding of this injunction must not violate the tenets of the Quran. And one of the most important tenet of the Holy Quran is La Ikraha Fid Din. There is no compulsion in religion. Therefore, I submit to you that no one should dictate Islamic norms or values on folks who have no Islamic conviction. Not only it is morally wrong to force people to follow Islamic norms, it is flatly stupid. It is stupid of jurists in Iran, in Afghanistan, or Saudi Arabia to force Islamic codes of conduct which are meant for the faithful on those who have no faith. Doesn't make sense, does it? To force Islamic norms on people that are not even Muslims or they are not practicing Muslims. So, keep this point in mind as we go through the rest of my sermon. Now, let's ask the Quran if Amr means ordering or commanding. Chapter 3, verse 104 answers this question. It clearly refutes the common perception of commanding or ordering the general public to live by Islamic norms. وَلْتَكُنْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Be a community that calls for what is good, enjoins what is right, and forbids what is wrong. This it is they who shall prosper. The verse starts by issuing a challenge to all of us, a challenge to Muslims. What is that challenge? Be a community that yad'un ala al-khayr. Yad'un comes from the Arabic root da'a, which means to call upon, to summon, and to invite. To invite. So the verse starts by saying, be a community that calls people onto the right path, onto goodness. Invite people. How should we invite people to what is right? Well, we can take a cue from the Prophet Muhammad. The Quran taught the Prophet Muhammad how to invite people to the truth. Chapter 16, verse 125. أدعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن. O Prophet, call people to the way of your Lord with wisdom and beautiful teaching. argue with them in the most courteous way. Very beautiful, very succinct. We should use the example of the Prophet Muhammad when we want to invite people to what is good in the most courteous way. Not by ordering them, not by forcing them, but in the most courteous way. Now, chapter 3, verse 104 starts with Yad'un il al-Khair and then sets the stage for the next instruction. وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنِ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ So we should understand this injunction, enjoining good and forbidding wrong, within the context of inviting people to the good. So, amr does not mean coercion. Amr does not mean dictation. It means direction. As in guidance, we need to direct people to what is good, not to force them or ordering them. So that's amr. How about ma'ruf? Amr bil ma'ruf. Ma'ruf is typically rendered right or good in the English language, and I use that same translation myself. But this translation is not entirely correct. Let me explain. The real meaning of ma'ruf in Arabic is different. Ma'ruf literally means what is known or recognized. Ma'ruf means something that is known or recognized in a society, or what we call conventional wisdom. Ma'ruf is conventional wisdom. It is something that the contemporary society considers good or right, or in the English language, moral. What the contemporary society considers moral in the English language. You see, the words moral and mores are derived from the Latin root, which means customs. Mores the same way. Mores are customs. In fact, ma'ruf means exactly the same thing. Ma'ruf in the Arabic language means whatever is customary, whatever that is accepted as good and right by the general public in a society. So, amr bil ma'ruf means invite and summon to what your society considers good, right, and considers the mores of the time. One more time, amr bil ma'ruf means invite people, summon the people to what your society considers good and right, the mores of the time, as long as those mores do not violate any principles of the Holy Quran. Invite to what the collective reason, Aql Jam'i, has considered to be right and good. In your time, invite to what collective human experience has validated to be right and good. So, each Muslim generation must determine ma'ruf based on the objective realities of their own times. Super critical point I just mentioned. Our generation must determine what ma'ruf is in the modern times. We shouldn't go back to the time of the Prophet Muhammad to find the applications of this injunction. Yes, we can go on and study the Prophet's time to get an idea what ma'ruf means. But the real applications of amr bil ma'ruf and nahyu anil munkar must be determined in every successive Muslim generation. The second piece of the injunction, النَّهْيُ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, forbidding wrong. Munkar is the opposite of ma'roof. Munkar means something that is unknown or unrecognized by the society. When the society does not recognize something, it is considered bad. It is considered wrong. So munkar is something that the conventional wisdom, the collective reason of the times, considers wrong. The Quran asks that you and I do not do wrong ourselves and do not remain silent in the face of wrongdoing by others. According to the Quran, again, super crucial point. According to the Quran, silence in effect amounts to complicity in the wrongdoing. You hear exactly the same idea in the sayings of Imam Ali, Imam Hussein, and our other imams. Remaining silent in the face of wrongdoing amounts to complicity in the wrongdoing. Let me give you an example from the Holy Quran. That's in chapter 5, verse 79. Very beautiful verse, which essentially tells us about not being silent in the face of wrongdoing by others. In this verse, the Quran reports that some of the children of Israel, Bani Israel, were silent on the wrongdoings that were being committed in their community. The whole community was then cursed by Jesus and also by David. The whole community. Then the verse tells us why. Why the whole community, and not just the wrongdoers, the whole community was cursed. كانوا لا يتناهون عن منكر فعلوه لبئس ما كانوا يفعلون. They did not forbid one another for the wrong they committed. Evil indeed is that which they used to do. In other words, the children of Israel, Bani Israel, had a collective social responsibility. They failed in that collective social responsibility. They failed to correct each other's wrongdoing. As a result, the whole community suffered terrible consequences. So, the underlying philosophy of Al-Amru Bil-Ma'ruf and Nahyu Anil Munkar is social responsibility. The philosophy of enjoining right and forbidding wrong is social responsibility and social engagement. The Prophet Muhammad did not shy away from his social responsibilities just because he had reached the pinnacle of spiritual progress in his Mi'raj, in his ascendance to heavens. Those of you who were in my sermon last time, if you recall, I mentioned that the Prophet Muhammad, after he ascended to the heavens, after his Mi'raj, did not retreat from social life. Quite the opposite. He engaged in social life much more than before. And he asked his followers to do exactly the same through Al-Amru Bil-Ma'ruf and Nahyu Anil Munkar. Right? So the Prophet Muhammad asks every single one of us to be involved in the affairs of our society. Let me quickly share with you what the exemplary students of the Prophet Muhammad understood enjoining right and forbidding wrong, what it meant to them. In his last will to his children, when he was on his deathbed, Imam Ali said the following: do not abandon enjoining right and forbidding wrong. Otherwise, the vicious and the wicked will become your rulers. And then, if you pray to God to remove them, your prayers would not be heard by God. So important of an injunction that Imam Ali reminded his children on his deathbed: do not abandon the injunction of enjoining right and forbidding wrong, because if you do so, the worst in your community will become your rulers, and then you will pray to God to get rid of them, and your prayers will not reach the desk of God. Because Al-Amru bil-Ma'ruf and Nahyu anil Munkar is a mechanism to defend society from corruption and tyranny. It's a call for civic engagement to prevent corruption from taking roots in society. The other example that I want to cite here is Imam Hussein. As you know, Imam Hussein rose up against the tyranny of Yazid, the head of the Islamic State, some 50 years after the death of the Prophet Muhammad. Imam Hussein, shortly before he left Mecca to face Yazid, he gave a speech in Mecca. In that speech, he explained why he refused to pledge allegiance to Yazid and why he chose to challenge Yazid's tyranny. Let me quote you a piece of that lecture by Imam Hussein. He said, "I did not rise up for the cause of wickedness, amusement, corruption, or oppression, but I rose up to reform the Muslim community of my grandfather, the Prophet Muhammad. I want to promote Al-Amru bil-Ma'ruf and Wal-Nahyu anil Munkar. I act on the tradition of my grandfather and my father." So Imam Hussein essentially mentioned Amr bil-Ma'ruf and Nahy anil Munkar as the justification for his uprising and rebellion against the tyranny of Yazid. That is the definition of Amr bil-Ma'ruf and Nahy anil Munkar: social engagement, social responsibility. The tradition of the Prophet Muhammad, the tradition of Imam Ali, was social and political engagement, not detachment. In the contemporary Western society, this sort of social engagement is called civic duty, right? That's what we hear all the time. Hey, it is your civic duty to do such and such. Well, in Islam, social responsibility is a religious duty. It is unbecoming of a practicing Muslim to be indifferent to what goes on around him, to say, none of my business. Guess what? Social affairs are everyone's business. Social affairs are everyone's business. As the Prophet Muhammad said so beautiful, كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. All of you are shepherds, and every one of you is responsible for the herd. Isn't that beautiful? So telling. Every one of us is the shepherd and responsible for the herd. So essentially, this is the philosophy of enjoining right and forbidding wrong. Now, let me bring everything into focus that I've said so far and give you some concrete applications for enjoining right and forbidding wrong in our own modern times. As I discussed in my last sermon, Islam does not departmentalize human life into secular and the sacred, the temporal and the spiritual. Far from it. As far as Islam is concerned, life is a whole and must be treated as such. The human life simultaneously has a personal dimension and a social dimension. We should not sacrifice one for the sake of the other. We should strive to improve both at the same time. Al-amru bil-ma'ruf and nahyu anil munkar is Islam's prescription for improving social life. That injunction is the Quranic prescription for improving our society. The underlying philosophy of this injunction is social responsibility and civic engagement. The ultimate goal of this injunction is to improve the quality of life for everyone in the community, to make the world a better and happier place for everyone. Let me ask you this question. Which social setting, which social environment do you think is more conducive for us to fulfill our duty of enjoining right and forbidding wrong? An open society. An open society, in my opinion, is the best social organization, social setting to fulfill the Islamic duty of Al-Amru bil-Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. An open society is a society that guarantees freedom of expression, freedom of conscience, freedom of association. In other words, the society must be organized in such a way that we are not punished for scrutinizing public affairs, that we are not punished for speaking our minds and criticizing authority. It should not cost our lives and our freedom. We should not be sent to jail or to the firing squad if we point out government corruption or theft of the treasury or police abuse. And I tell you, the contemporary Muslim societies, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Pakistan, Afghanistan, and beyond, they all fail in this respect. None of them, absolutely none of them, allow their citizens to fulfill their Islamic duty of Al-Amru bil-Ma'ruf and Nahyu anil Munkar. In contrast, modern democratic societies make it relatively easy to fulfill this important Islamic injunction. That is why, brothers and sisters, you and I, as Muslims, we must fight for democracy. We must do all we have in our powers to preserve democracy, if we have it in a society. Why? Because we can practice our religion far better in a democracy than a dictatorship. Dictatorship is a munkar, a wrong, whereas democracy is a ma'ruf. It's a good social organization. We're running out of time. Let me quickly give you 10 applications for Al-Amru bil-Ma'ruf and Nahy an al-Munkar in our modern democratic societies. These are some ways that you can fulfill that Quranic injunction in our democratic society. The first application that I can share with you. If you feel that you are enlightened by the Word of God, if you feel that you are empowered by your faith, then pay it forward. Teach others. Share with others the gems that you have found along the way. This is an application of Amr bi Ma'ruf, enjoining good. The second suggestion that I have, participate in progressive and inclusive Islamic centers and organizations. You see, Islam today is going through a really rough time. Islam has been hijacked by power-hungry extremists. The self-appointed guardians of Islam, the clergy, have badly damaged its image. So much so that Islam has no appeal to the modern youth. So, join centers, join organizations that strive to restore the image of Islam. Organizations and centers that strive to make Islam a positive force for harmony, for peace and spirituality in the modern world. This is an application of Amr bi Ma'ruf. Third one. Identify a problem in your community. Any problem. Identify a problem in your community and work with your neighbors to fix it. Another one. Join a PTA, a parent-teacher association at your local school. That's how you can do good in your community. That's how you can promote good in your community. Another example, be an informed citizen. Be an informed citizen. Be informed about local news, national news, and international news. And then inform others about the news. That's what Dariush does in GB Wire, and my hat off to him. This is a very good application of Al-Amru bil-Ma'ruf and Nahy an al-Munkar. Educate the public. Inform the public of the real news in your community and around the world. Another example of Amr bi Ma'ruf and Nahy an al-Munkar in our times. Work in a non-profit organization or join an NGO, a non-governmental organization, for causes such as human rights, prevention of war, or protecting the environment. Another example, vote in elections. Vote in elections. We live in a democracy, take advantage of it, and strengthen the democracy that we have by voting. Send people to government offices that promote justice, that promote peace and prosperity for everyone, and not just the super rich. Another example, share your views with lawmakers and with the elected officials. Tell them if they're doing something wrong, if they are crafting bad policy, and give them kudos if they do a good job. Another example, take part in protests. Take part in demonstrations in support of social justice causes. This is an application of Nahy an al-Munkar, forbidding wrong. And this is the last example that I'm going to give you because we're running out of time. Use the social media such as Facebook, Instagram, and the likes to post uplifting information to make our American society more civil. We need more civility in our society. So this is a good way of promoting Amr bi Ma'ruf, or doing Amr bi Ma'ruf. Positive news, uplifting information that teach people how to be more civil towards each other, because we need this virtue a lot. So these are some examples of social engagement. Remember, as far as Islam is concerned, justice is the most sacred principle for a society. Any activity that enhances social justice or improves the quality of life for everyone is a good application of Al-Amru Bil-Ma'ruf and Nahyu Anil Munkar. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.